the next generation of our future workforce. You know, let's give a round of applause for Jenny Stewart Hill for coming to the table and filling our needs. And then also, the Western Kentucky Workforce Board, they talk about the funding for the WIOA program. You know, there's a lot of organizations behind the scenes that are working hard to make it possible for these programs to take place, and they don't always get the credit they deserve, so let's give them a round of applause as well. So I'm going to set the stage this morning and kind of introduce kind of what we're about to talk about today. I think some of you guys are kind of maybe wondering. And I'll just first say that I'm really proud at the crowd that we have here. I mean, we have over 200 individuals who are coming today that are looking toward the future. And I think that shows a testament to our community that we are looking for progress. We're working to support our youth, to support our businesses, our workforce, and to see what kind of initiatives and partnerships that we can have that comes out of this. I'm going to be honest with you, this is the first time I've done it in a couch setting, so I'm trying to figure out how to get comfortable here. Do I cross my legs and keep it like this? I also brought an iPad this morning, like, so I could look really cool, and I don't really know how this works. It's weird I have a pen in my hand, but I will say, I can have my coffee up here, and so this is what I am excited about this section. So like I said, today's theme is engaging the next generation of workforce. Now, I want to forewarn you that we're approaching this in a little bit of a different angle. You might expect today's program to be like a lot of us older folk going, how are we going to get the next workforce engaged? And it's going to be pointing fingers at students. And today, we're coming at it a different angle. We're going to look at how we play our part in engagement. Engagement is a two-way street. It takes all of us, so it's how we get our businesses, our community leaders, our elected officials, how we get us engaged, and we play our part in bringing students into the workforce as they grow. So as you remember last year at a workforce breakfast, the Chamber relaunched our Workforce Education Committee under the new name Pre-K to Biz. And so for those of you who weren't there, a little bit behind, you know, the kind of history behind that was that through a strategic planning process at the Chamber, when we evaluated the workforce challenges in our county, we concluded that the rise and popularity of Gateway Academy, as well as the new Christian County High School, adopting a new district-wide CTE instruction model, we felt it was the perfect opportunity for our members to take a more active role in building the future generation of workforce. By shifting our collective focus to supporting our students from preschool to high school, we can expand career opportunities and strengthen talent pipelines with a mutual benefit to both the business community and our children's future. Today, we recognize that for a shared community success, we as external partners have to jump into the arena and play our part. And boy, has this committee been busy as we've started off. We kicked off this fiscal year. We hosted 18 staff appreciation breakfasts at our public and private schools and served over 1,200 educators and classified support personnel to thank them for all the efforts that they did within our community. We also hosted a Christian Public School Award Dinner offering over 30 employees and the Staff Member of the Year. We held a work-based learning town hall where employers would come and talk about ways that they could get plugged in into the school system. Last week, we had a Lunch and Thrive student co-op panel. We had students who talked about their experiences, and it was an unbelievable day to hear. The one thing that they said during that panel that really stuck out to me was, they said, please believe in us because we can do a lot more than you think we can. And I was like, that's the call to action right there. You know, we need to support them because they can rise to the challenge and do it. And give them the opportunity to thrive. I thought that was really, really great. We have Chamber Volunteers, the Career Expo. I want to give Sandra Hancock and her team a big round of applause for the Career Expo 2 weeks ago. Along with that, I want to give a special thank you to almost 70 businesses who got involved there to teach students about opportunities that happen right here within Christian County in the greater southwestern region. I mean, it's pretty amazing to see everybody kind of come in and do that. The atmosphere, there was just a great sense of feeling behind that, and it was really neat. If you did not take part in that in your business, or if you wanted to volunteer, please do so next year. We want to see that over 100 businesses before we know it. But also, Pre-K to Biz advocates. You I'd say behind the scenes, but also very much so out in the open. We work with our government affairs committee that Tracy chairs to talk about how we can help support workforce solutions from a state and local level with our legislators. We serve on other steering committees without the community, and also working with TVA and the Connected Communities Initiative to work on some workforce solutions with other local community leaders. So there's a lot of things that we're doing to help support the workforce, and we're going to continue to do that. But you know, it brings us here today, right? So we'll have a conversation with four individuals that none of them need any introduction. We will do that here very shortly, who are already supporting the efforts of the new Christian County High School in a big way. So most specifically, by serving on the Christian County High School Master Planning Committee. And so we hope that their experience can inspire you to become more involved, and it gives more insight as to the strategic objectives and goals and mission of New Christian County High School and where we're going forward. So let's introduce our panelists this morning over here. We've got boys on my right, girls on my left. We'll start over here with the boys. We have Mr. Dr. Chris Boyette, who is the Chief Academic Officer at Hopkins Hill Community College. We have Mr. Clifford Hines, who's a kids and family pastor at New Word Fellowship. I'll call you Cliff from now on. It sounded really weird calling you Clifford. To my left, we have Tracy Clark, who's the executive director of the Jenny Stewart Health Foundation. And we have Ms. Jennifer Maddox, who's the Community Reinvestment Act Officer at Planners Bank. Everyone, give them a round of applause. So we got the applause out of the way. So now it's all downhill from here. Everybody's already, now we've got to work towards a standing ovation, right? Okay, so today we're going to specifically talk about the Christian County High School Master Plan. And if you haven't been a part of the process, you probably are not very sure about what that entails. And so I'm going to give some quick history behind that, and then we'll move on and hear from our panelists. So first, the Christian County Master's Plan's purpose is to state key mission and objectives of the new Christian County High School. The goals we must meet to ensure success and to develop key strategies to attain these goals. So there was a group of about 50 internal and external partners and representatives from Ford NGL. This included teachers, business leaders, administrators, parents, other community leaders. It also included 10 students who were able to have a voice in shaping the educational future of their peers. They were wonderful through this process, so impressive. And to hear what they wanted really helped shape this master plan to ensure that it was a quality student experience, putting them first, just as we did with Ms. Sadie here today. The committees, the group members were put into five subcommittees, which were co-chaired by an internal and external member. That means an internal member who worked for Christian County Public Schools and an external member who from the community. Those five subcommittees were first teaching and learning, which was its purpose was to provide structures for high quality instruction, think through curriculum and changes needed to adapt an academy model and improve students' post-secondary success. Dr. Boyette served on that committee and I helped co-chair that. We had the work-based learning and pathways, which was to help develop CTE pathway programs to assist students in pursuing career interests. This was to get our external partners involved in the curriculum process through work-based learning. And Tracy served on that committee, co-chaired it. We also had the Student Voices Committee, as I talked about, which gave them an advocacy seat at the table. We had the community family engagement, Jennifer served as the parent member on the Student Voices Committee. And then we had a community family engagement with Cliff served on, and it was purpose was to share consistent communication and encourage parent engagement and career community partnerships to make sure we have a consistent message and that we're sharing the things that are happening so that people can get involved. And then last, there was a governance structure and accountability, which established roles and responsibilities for shared ownership and accountability for community-connected learning. Our public system, school system is our community's public school system, and there does have to be accountability for that to ensure that with a new educational model, a new school, that we are hitting the milestones we need and ensuring that it's successful for students. So there was three collaborative meetings and numerous co-chair meetings, and in the process of drafting that plan, it is a working document. Ford NGL has helped with that process, and we'll talk a little bit about their efforts here in a little bit. So I know that, like I said, it's a working document, and I'm sure it will be shared in the not-so-distant future. I don't know if Chris Bensel is in here today, but no pressure on you to release that. So I'm sure you're going to see it after the day. He gave me a thumbs up, so not-so-distant future. Sure. But I'm done talking. I'm going to leave it to the people that you all came here to see today. So we have microphones. You guys already got those. Fantastic. And I think we're going to start off today. We will go with ladies first. I would like for you guys to tell us, you know, why you decided to serve on the Christian County High School Master Planning Committee, and what did you take away from your experience?
So, I'll start. A little backstory. I have had the pleasure of working with the Chamber's Youth Leadership Program. I've been a day coordinator for their Health and Human Services Day since 2008. I had to go back and look that up. It's been a long time. But I've gotten to work with many, many groups over the years of really driven students. And I've noticed how much in recent years their conversations have changed in asking about careers and exploring what they were kind of interested in. It moved from, what kind of degree do you need? How many years does it take? What is the average pay? To coming right in on Health and Human Services Day and saying, how can I get my job training secured? How do I get my co-op secured? How old do you have to be to volunteer here at Jimmy Stewart to get some experience? So I had already started to notice that that conversation was really changing with the youth. And I talked with Sandra Hancock a little bit about it, Kelly Gates and Penny Knight, and had learned from them that, yes, this is something they were really trying to provide for these students on a wider basis and a more consistent basis, but we weren't having the community partners who were coming to the table to help with that. So fast forward to a couple of years ago, and I sat in on the first community presentation for the Ford NGL Academy model. And it just clicked for me. It seemed to make the most sense based on what I was hearing from the students and how they were wanting to learn and how they were wanting to engage in their own career preparation, even in high school. So when Sandra Hancock, who I had many conversations trying to connect to different businesses and trying to get some of these partnerships going, she asked me if I would co-chair this work-based learning committee for the master plan, I realized if it meant something to me, I had to be all in. So that is what brought me to the table.
Your response, I think, is really interesting because when we talk about engagement being a two-way street, we're starting to see students come to the table in a more intentional, purposeful, and mature manner, right? And I think for a long time, from the business community or adults, we tend to, and this has happened generationally for hundreds of years, we always look at the younger generation that they're lazy and they don't know what they're doing. You see it actually in news articles back in the 1700s. That's not the case right now. They have access to information, they're using it, they're processing it, and they're willing to make it or take that and try to find more opportunity than maybe we had the ability to do when we were younger. And so I think it's time that we meet them at that point, right, in a mature way. Jennifer?
Well, I started in this process several years ago in the initial committee that started to think about what are we going to do about addressing the needs of our two high schools. At the time, I had a child in elementary, a child in middle school, and a child in high school. So I think they asked me because I checked a lot of boxes for parent participation. I also had a child who made the difficult decision to change high schools because one school offered classes and the other one did not. I was not an easy sell on this combined high school and large high school. I remember telling Mr. Vinsel when I joined that committee that I was happy to serve, but he was going to have a lot of convincing to do. Before living in Hopkinsville, I lived in a county smaller than Christian County with four public high schools. So I was a big fan of small schools and was not quite sure how this was going to work, but can tell you that over the last few years, I've been more than convinced this is definitely the way to go. I'm really excited about the opportunities, not only for our kids, but for our entire community through this process. And the workforce learning opportunities are really what puts it over the top. And for all of us, not just for our kids, but for business owners, for our chamber members, for our entire community, it's such a great thing.
So you, I think that there's a lot of people in this room who share the same thoughts that you did at the beginning of this. We all probably had reservations because this is a transformative, kind of shocking shift in how we've done things as a community for decades. And so I think it's really interesting from a parent. You have that concern. You want to ensure that your students, that your children have the best opportunity. You come from a community with really, really small schools. And so I think it's nice to hear your perspective because we can find a lot of that in common. And then understand that as you learn more, and there's always going to be challenges in everything you do. Nothing is perfect. We all know that. We understand that we start to identify the challenges, we work through it, and then we start to see the idea come into focus and say, okay, this might work, right? It's not going to be one giant school, it's going to be four smaller academies within a school. So instead of us having two high schools, now we have five high schools, technically, if you count freshman academy. So that'll change some things as we kind of go through. Dr. Boyette?
Thank you. There were two big things for me that really made me just say, I need to be part of this. I want to be part, and I'm so thankful that I had a chance and still have a chance. But two things. One is opportunity. You just mentioned you had a student that had to change high schools just because something wasn't offered at one was offered at the other. Well, at the college, we have the opportunity at the moment of having county high school in our backyard. So those students had an opportunity that Hopptown didn't. Some of those students could come over and take advanced coursework at the college while the ones across town could. Transportation is a barrier. And so there are some students being left out. And so first I saw there's an opportunity for us to make more opportunity for students, for them to come over and take more advanced coursework. Well, the other thing I saw was that students need to be thinking earlier about what happens after they move up TASL at graduation. They need to be thinking about not just where they're heading, what their career field is, but how to get there. And so one enjoyable part of this process was to get to work on the freshman academy part and to talk about what we're going to do to help students chart that path and head out where they're going to go. And then you talk about the Career Expo. What an amazing event. And Sandra, where are you at? Where's Sandra? Is Sandra here this morning?
She's not here.
She's not here? All right, so... Y'all, next time you see your pattern on the back, that is an amazing opportunity. Along with those opportunities, students know where they want to go and how to get there. So for me, I was sold. Those two things really help us to bring students along and give opportunity.
And I say for me, one of the biggest things that encouraged me to join this team was, first of all, I was just trying to figure out how do I get more engaged in my community. After moving here and being here for 4 years, kind of having a small circle around the church community that I have. But then I was like, you know what, as a kids pastor at one of the churches in town, I feel like it's important for me to engage in my community. I was a part of the pastoral advisory committee that Chris Bilzel started when he first got here to get guidance, and that led to a conversation with some folks about me joining the Hopkinsville leadership team of class of 2022, 2023. We were that class, if you know what I mean, you know what I mean.
Everybody's got class.
But coming out of that, one of the big things that Taylor Hayes and our leaders of that group was trying to encourage us to do, say, what's next? What are you going to do now that you have experienced our community on a kind of a workforce level and seeing what our community have to offer? What did you have to offer our community? That was then led up with a quick conversation with Chris Bilzel at that time. Like I said, me and Chris Bilzel was kicking off really well with our relationship. And then he said, we would like for you to join our master planning, or at that time it was the freshman tactic team, which developed into then the master planning team. And just knowing that I was able to connect with other leaders in our community that was going to shape the community, the future community that we have here through our students and kids, that was something that I was really bought in with real quickly.
So answering the call, right? Saying yes. And Dr. Boyette, you talk about opportunity, right? And I think that's what we all hope for our youth. So I talked a little bit about the subcommittees that we had. The subcommittees, they created goals that would support the mission of the school, and then there were different strategic objectives and tactics in order to achieve those that are within the plan. I'd like to take a moment with each of our panelists for them to talk about a little bit about the committee that they worked on and what they see its kind of its role and why it's important that it exists to support the efforts of Christian County High School. Tracy, would you like to go first, please?
So for the work-based learning committee, committee, we were primarily tasked with thinking through creating these comprehensive pathway programs that would help connect these high school students to their post-secondary experience, whatever that might be for them. And although, you know, I mean, we had some incredible CTE, a career career and tech education educators. Oh, I always mess that up. CTE, career and technical education teachers. Did I get that right? Okay. All right. Thank you, Penny. CTE, I'll try not to use acronyms too much. But anyway, we had some amazing teachers who were already doing this and already working on this. And of course, you leave that to the experts, right? But one of the things that our committee really tried to take a look at as is what are the barriers to achieving some of these comprehensive pathways. And another piece of this was recognizing that the reality of getting 600 students into a co-op program or an internship is probably not that likely in our near future. So what are the things that we can guarantee that every student will experience while they're at Christian County High School that is work-based learning in nature, so that we can get everybody some equal playing grounds? So we were also tasked with creating some guaranteed work-based learning experiences that from freshman year through senior year, every student would have an equal opportunity to experience those kind of educational pieces that would help move them toward that post-secondary readiness. And I'll leave it there because I think we're going to talk more about the guaranteed experiences.
We'll follow up right now with that. So you talk about co-op, getting into 600 students. Maybe let me backtrack a little bit. We talked about Gateway Academy earlier in opening remarks. You know, CTE education is not new in Christian County Public School System. It blew my mind to find out that over 70% of students attend Gateway Academy in some way. The students have already chosen to go this route. Either we were going to do it or not, that's what they wanted and that's what they were seeking out and what they were looking for. But when now you put in a district-wide model, all of a sudden you go from having about 100 co-op students over the course of 70 businesses like we see today to upwards of 300. That is a huge scale-up factor, exponentially. And so we have to kind of figure out how we're going to do that. And it might not always be co-op. What are other ways that work-based learning, how does that look inside the classroom?
Well, I think what we all have to start doing is looking at work-based learning, not just, and I had the same misconception that co-op was really kind of what work-based learning meant. We have to start thinking about work-based learning on a continuum. And with co-op and internships being at the highest level of that continuum. But there has to be an educational process that moves people in that direction. So these guaranteed work-based learning experiences start in that freshman year. And many of you have already participated in that first guaranteed work-based learning experience, and maybe you don't even know it. So how many of you participated in the Career Expo that just happened a couple weeks ago? Or your businesses did? So you were a part of the freshman guaranteed work-based learning experience, where it's important that they get to put faces and names and to professions that maybe they've learned about, or maybe they get to learn about professions they never knew existed, because how do they choose what's right for them unless they know what the menu of options are available to them? So being able to have over 70 booths and 70 businesses represented is amazing, and I know that they'll just keep growing it. Again, kudos to Sandra and her team for putting this together. But it really does have to start at that more granular level of how do we get the exposure for every student and make sure every student has that equal experience. So the Career Expo is the freshman year guaranteed experience. When they move into their sophomore year, the hope is that they will be doing business and industry tours. And my guess is a lot of you are already participating in that in one way or another. If you let the youth leadership class come in, or you host in different groups or clubs from the schools. But think about expanding that in a completely different way. And we're not talking about bringing 600 students to one business or industry. We're talking about targeting those pathways that these students have chosen and individualizing that experience for that pathway, for those groups of pathways that seem to work together. Every academy will approach this differently. Groups of pathways, the CTE teachers will be attacking this from that standpoint as well. So getting those smaller tour experiences in that sophomore year will be very important, because now they've gone from the Career Expo, where they've talked about it, into the work environment to learn a little more about it. Then when you start to look into their junior year, we really start to talk about job shadowing with them. So now they're moving into one-on-ones with those who are out there and working in the profession or career that this student might be interested in. So they get to ask even more in-depth questions. They start to see themselves in that environment. We also hope that either sophomore or junior year, they will also get a college visit. Every student will get a college visit. If you have not envisioned yourself on a college campus, how do you know if that's right for you? Your first day in college should not be the first day you walk on campus as a student. So does that start to fit together of how these build one upon the other year after year, and start preparing folks for that career pathway in ways that help them see, you know, you heard Sadie say, she learned what didn't work for her as much as she learned what did work for her. I mean, you can't say it better than that. They need these experiences. So by the time they move into their senior year, they could get into more intensive job shadowing. They may be doing a co-op. They may do an internship. They might be doing capstone projects. But one year will build upon the other, but every student will have opportunity for these work-based learning guaranteed experiences. So we're providing that equal playing field, regardless of what pathway the students are interested in.
I appreciate all that detail, because it kind of gives you an idea. You're able to visualize how this would work. First off, you know, just kind of hit me right now, the next year is my 20-year anniversary from graduating high school. That was not what school was like when I was there. Well, I'm having an existential crisis up here right now. But no, yeah, it was not the way that it was. This is going to be a very different learning experience for our students. It's going to be more tailored to their interests. And you can kind of see now that we can be creative about this. You might not, program might not work for you, right? But a job shadow might. A tour, that's a low-hanging fruit. You can make that happen very easily, and you're able to play a small part. And one thing that I always think of is that great things happen, big things happen, not because of some generational change. Well, I mean, there's things that happen, technology, etc. But in life, it's usually a lot of people, hundreds of people, doing a lot of small acts that build upon itself. And that's what this will take from us as a community. I'm going to come over here to Dr. Boyette. So you're on the Teaching and Learning, or Teaching Curriculum, Teaching and Learning Committee. Right. Sorry, I got the name a little bit wrong. I want to ask you a specific question on that. So what changes to the curriculum be required to blend CTE and traditional instructional philosophies? A lot of people's concerns are that this is just going to be all career-based, career-focused, and you're not going to have any opportunity to go a more traditional route, college preparatory or something like that.
Right, and I think the architecture of the educational experience, you know, is as important as the architecture of the building that's going up right now. And that is, how are those experiences being put together? And so when you talk about the academy model, I'll use the ag group, that academy. How do you teach English? How do you teach math? Because those students are going to get those things, and how do they still get Shakespeare? And then apply that to the academy. And I'll tell you, that's something that the faculty, really, that rests upon their creativity, but it also rests upon their ability to communicate with each other. And so a lot of the planning that we've done and talked about, even since the initial meetings with the master plan, have been, how do we intentionally create those conversations among faculty so that they get to talk about how their discipline in a gen ed area, sorry, they call it core in high school, but I call it gen ed, how does that apply to the academy itself? And those experiences are being planned, but also, how do we prepare the faculty through professional development? And so that was a big part of the master planning effort too, because this is a different way of operating. Now, I will tell you, as a math teacher, and if you want to cringe, please do. That's my normal reaction when I tell people that I've taught math. But as a math teacher, I found that students were much more likely to engage with what I was doing in class if they found a reason for it, if they found a connection for it, if they found a use for it. I don't know how many folks in the room really want to go factor polynomials right now, besides me.
Okay.
No takers. But I did find that students were willing to do it when they saw there was a point to it, when they saw that it led somewhere. And so for a teacher to have that ability to connect what they're doing with a career field, with a possible outcome for the student, for the when am I ever going to use this teacher sort of question moment, that's important and crucial. And that's really what we're talking about when we talk about the academy model, is those math teachers being able to pull it to business in the business academy, for those history teachers being able to show why that context is important in the ag academy and so forth. So it is a different way of doing it, but I think the keys are communication among the faculty, intentional professional development, and all of that's been part of the baked into the recipe.
And that's how those academy models work. There's a governance structure inside of it, and it creates an environment that promotes cross collaboration between teachers in different disciplines. I'm going to use an example. Dr. Ralston's back there. I'm going to try not to mess this up. They were at a school in Virginia, and they were talking about how they blend the career focus with an actual lesson. And they talked about aperture, which is, I think, the curve of the sun or lenses. I am a math guy, too, so I'm not the science guy. But what they did is they tied that to photography. So they tied that with science, photography, and math. And so everybody can look up aperture on your phone right now. I know I botched that. But I'm looking at you, Kat Lacey, right? So you play a role in that where you can come in and talk about how aperture works in your profession as a photographer, right? And then your math and your science teachers will be able to talk about applications that they want to see. That still meets with core and making sure students are getting, they're learning the reading, writing, arithmetic in a traditional sense in order to graduate and make themselves ready for the next step, whether that's the workforce or it's a post-secondary institution. Jennifer, I'm going to come back here to you. You worked on, you were the parent representative on the Student Voices Committee, and I just wanted you to kind of share your perspective of what did you learn from the students that you served with, and how will they be a part of the future planning process and shaping as Christian County High School once it gets off the ground?
Well, the students were invaluable in this process, and it really is. This is not a school that we built for our kids. This is a program that we designed with them. They were so intricately involved and had such wonderful ideas to share. They brought a perspective that none of us could have. And for Student Voice Committee, we kind of had four goals. One was to determine student interest regarding their leadership opportunities, ensure consistent communication between students, teachers, administrators, and parents. They want to build a strong ambassador program for our students out in the community and establish opportunities for student leadership at every grade level in every academy, as well as opportunities for business and community engagement. So it was fascinating to hear their perspective about how all this can work, not only out in the community, but traveling through their 4 years of high school, making that a meaningful experience for them and finding connection. And so they came up with a goal of having every single student involved in something in that school. So they're not just coming to school, going to class, getting on a bus, and going home. And a lot of that is already happening. I was in a committee meeting yesterday, and we looked at a list the high schools have put together of every single freshman and what they're involved in. And the ones that are not are highlighted, and we're trying to figure out ways to plug them in. The kids had great ideas about that. A lot of these things are already happening. Christian County High School has a Dungeons and Dragons club. When we talked about things that were available, they brought up ideas that they're interested in that aren't currently offered, or ways to make that happen. So, they're going to go back to these kids and say, what are you interested in? What would intrigue you? And, maybe we need to start a baking club or a reading club. Or they were just really able to think outside the box and beyond what you typically think of as school clubs and activities. And they wanted to make sure there was leadership opportunities at every level for every student. And hats off to the school system who put these kids together for this committee. They didn't just pick all your straight A class presidents. These were kids that represented every economic level, academic achievement level, so they all had so much to add. Communication was a big part of our community as well. How are we going to communicate with students, with parents, with teachers? One student said, hey, English is my second language. No one else in my home speaks English. How are you going to communicate this to my parents? How are they going to be aware of this? So they really helped us think about things from their perspective, which again was something that we couldn't bring to the table. So it really has been a group effort, and so many of the things that we're talking about today, we're not waiting on the building to be done. They're already happening. My youngest is a freshman now. He's in Freshman Academy, so it's really interesting to watch him come home and talk about all the things that have been planned over the last few years that are already happening.
It's about helping students find their place, right? I think it's a rightful concern that when you merge and consolidate a high school, that it's going to restrict opportunity. The numbers just won't work, right? But the task in this will be able to try to expand opportunity for students to find their place. This generation has been termed by researchers as the anxious generation. They deal with a lot of different challenges that we don't really remember due to social media, having a hyper online fixated world, and it creates isolation, right? And it's harder where it thinks it connects us all together and it's easier to find your place, but that actual real meaningful social connections are not being made. And you talked about a D&D club. You talked about a baking club. When you put students with like-minded individuals within their academies, they're able to feed off of each other, and it builds confidence. That was one of the biggest things the student co-op panel. They said, my co-op program helped me build confidence, and I can sit up before you today and talk. And I think this is what this will do. I always loved the story. When I was going through leadership, we were the longest class ever, so we'll say that. You all said best class. We were the longest. We were during COVID. Penny talked about how the kids on the robotic team, they had to turn the lights off to get them to leave and go home to work on the robots. And that was not around 20, 30 years ago. They had found their place, or maybe it wasn't sports, or it wasn't something else. That's what excites them. And they're going to take that with them for a meaningful experience as they go into college and the career path. Cliff, on this kind of topic, and we'll move to a few things as we're getting, you know, kind of moving through the schedule here. You were on the community engagement committee. So this kind of shifts from students to parents, right? How important will it be to ensure that the messaging is out there, that parents understand what's going on, and that they can help play their role in assisting their students in taking full advantage of the opportunity?
Right. I mean, I think there's a lot of things to factor into this. I think that part of it is moving past the initial shock of, hey, we're combining schools. Getting past the orange and black versus red and blue, the nostalgia of what this community group know and have grown up in. Once you get past that, then how do we communicate and engage all of these things that we've been talking about here? That was the main focus of the tactic team that I was on. And so parent engagement and community partnerships is the key to success that this new school academic model is going to allow. And so that means that we need parents to be engaged. We need community partners to be engaged as well. And so how does that look? What does that look like? I mean, the first part of that is that you have to establish and develop a consistent, open, and transparent communication flow. That's from the school to the community and to the families, but also from the families and communities back to the school. The next thing that we looked at is that this, if we want to see success within the schools, we have to have the parents on board and engaged as well. And so as we heard from a parent, and probably several of you guys are in the room are probably parents as well, part of it is how do we get the same information that we are building, the same information that the students are speaking, how do we get that to the parents' hands? And so not only just the parents' hands, but to the right parents' hands so they can have the information and figure out a way that how can they be involved and supportive of their child's educational growth. The next thing is community partnerships. Everybody here is a part of an organization, part of a business, a nonprofit. that can have an important role in seeing this work-based learning, this co-op opportunity, all these things happen and develop. And you're talking about somebody that has a photography business. You can see how all of these pieces can fit together, but the thing is, probably the community don't see. How do my business or organization play a role in what our new school system model has to offer? And so the thing is that thing in engaging opportunities like this, where you can hear about, man, maybe my business, my organization can have a part in what the kids are learning because I can do this with the ag department, or hey, with the new industry business coming up, oh, we need, you know, X amount of new employees coming up in the next couple of years. And so giving the kids opportunities now to explore what they hope to do, just like one of our students just said here, she had opportunities in high school to figure out what she wants to do. And now coming out of high school, she has a plan, she has a goal in mind where she can accomplish those life goals in hand. But it started with having teachers on board, having parents on board, having the organizations in our community on board. And so all of these things need to play a part in it, but the information that's relayed, it has to be consistent, it has to be open, it has to be transparent, both ways, from us as the school system, and then also from you guys and all of us as community partners saying, how can I be involved? What can I do to help?
Again, engagement is a two-way street, right? And it's very important that CCPS understands that they're the conduit, they're the medium in between that communication from students to external partners, and they have to take ownership of that in a transparent and an intentional manner, right? If there's opportunities, we need to share it. But again, as a two-way street, we've got to be on the other side of the phone, right? We've got to be there and willing to look ourselves and take part in that. We're moving pretty good on time. We're getting close here to the end. So I have a couple questions for each one of you that I want to kind of go through before we do our closing remarks. And I actually have the same question, sorry, for Tracy and Dr. Boyetta, because I want to talk about soft skills. So we talk a lot about learning about the careers and the curriculum in that way. But employers often say that soft skills are what we are looking for most whenever, when we're trying to recruit and retain talent. And this district has unveiled a program that they call Profile of a Graduate, which is where students intentionally focus on their soft skills, and they actually have to defend that, almost like a thesis dissertation kind of defense that they have to do in order for them to graduate. You know, back in the day, we had portfolios. They may still have those now. I'm not sure. We had the white papers to send them to state. This is like the portfolio, but it's based on soft skills. Being a collaborative, long-time learner, a problem solver, a team builder. There's a few other different pieces in there. You actually, I forgot, have a card on your table that describes it in more detail. And so, Tracy, I'd like to ask you, I know that you work with the Jenny Stewart Health Foundation, but you work tying very closely with Jenny Stewart. How important is this soft skills support, and how do you think the Career Academy model will help enhance this?
Well, I think the most impressive thing maybe for me out of this master planning was to hear some of the seniors talk about defending their profile of a graduate and what actually applying the things that they had learned into these profile components. And I think we all know that in being prepared to enter into a workforce, particularly a fast-paced work environment like Jenny Stewart, you have to be able to think critically and on your feet. You can't always rely on someone to give you direction. You have to be able to think independently and be able to move quickly and agilely through your day and to accommodate different circumstances that arise with patients. I also think it's that accountability piece, and that's one of the big pieces of the profile of the graduate. We've gone through, and I'm sure many of you have in your workplaces, a period of time where people just didn't call in and didn't show up and just didn't come back to work. I mean, I think we are, through this profile of a graduate, and starting not just in high school, but starting early in the elementary schools, is my understanding of the rollout for this profile, is that they will learn this throughout their entire educational experience through Christian County Public Schools. And by the time they graduate and really understand how their actions and their thinking impact their work environment, but also how it helps them enjoy that work environment in a different way. If you can be the self-starter, if you can be the creative thinker, if you can move agilely through different circumstances, things don't land on you quite the same way as if you're playing the blank game, right? And I think that these are incredibly important skills. One thing I didn't mention in the Guaranteed Work-Based Learning Experience is there's a professionalism fair that Sandra and her team have been doing for a while, where, and some of you have probably participated in that, where not only are professionals in the community talking to them about interview skills and proper handshakes and how to dress for the job, but it's also talking through real work experiences and how you handle difficult things when they come your way. And I think if you look at that profile of a graduate and understand that that is going to be ingrained in their experience from early on through graduation, I think we are going to have, we're going to be creating a stellar workforce. And so we just need to work really hard to keep them in this community instead of losing them out to other communities, right? I think it's a tremendous concept, the profile of the graduate. And it is, I think, the North Star of everything right now that Christian County Public Schools is doing. I applaud them.
I'm glad you brought up starting in elementary schools. When we talk about pre-K and biz, right? You got to start early. You show up to high school with already some soft skills training, it's going to make your high school experience just that much better. Right. Dr. Boyette, as a post-secondary educator, how do you think that this will prepare students when they come into your classrooms and to your institution?
Well, the amazing thing is that the effort that's gone into this, first of all, I want to applaud the way it was built and all the input into this. It's going back to the idea of beginning with the end in mind. What does that graduate look like from day one? You know that and you share that with the student. But as we were part of that as well, we got to talk about what kind of student we want to see come to HCC or go to another post-secondary institution. But I would also say that we're doing the same thing right now in higher education, because employers are telling us the same thing that we've been hearing here. Our employee pools that we're getting, they're getting shallower and they're missing these soft skills. Now forgive me, I'm going to say this. If we ever come up with a better term for soft skills, let's advertise the heck out of it, because they're really superpowers. Showing up to work on time, communicating, being able to be a critical thinker, being a self-directed learner. These are superpowers. These are the people that excel. These are the people that not just get the job. These are the folks that move up. Well, in higher ed, we're doing the same thing. We've asked, what should that student look like when they come out of a two-year institution or when they get finished with a baccalaureate degree? We're calling them essential skills. So we have 10 essential skills that, by the way, map really well to these. But all of our students should come out, whether they come out with a degree in gen ed for us, for AA, if they come out with an ag degree, if they come out with business, they should all be able to function in this environment they go to. And it's the same thing that we're doing with profile of a graduate. So I was just amazed to see those two things develop simultaneously, because at the end of the day, the students that you have that come into kindergarten, come into post-secondary, are going to go out into your businesses, and they're going to work side by side with you and your employees. And to have that vision of what it should look like is what I applaud Christian County Schools for, and we're doing the same thing.
Thank you. Thank you. Talk a little bit about Ford NGL. Ford NGL is not Ford, the auto company. A very big misconception is that Ford NGL is helping from a consultative standpoint to create more workers for the auto industry. And that is simply cannot be farther from the truth. Talk about communication, you gotta share that better, right? Ford NGL is a foundational arm of the Ford family that helps support to improve career work-based learning opportunities. And they have worked with schools all over the world. They worked with schools in Scotland. And here's my big reveal here. They actually worked with the McGavick High School, which Cliff was a student at. Cliff not only comes as a person who served in this committee, but he was actually in a Ford NGL school. And Ms. Donna Gilley, I think, was the coordinator for the Nashville school system whenever they were implementing the Ford NGL model. So, Cliff, I wanted to ask you, can you just share a little bit about what your experience was as an actual student?
Yeah, once I realized that football wasn't a career path or a life path for me anymore, I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a plan when the offer stopped coming in due to injuries. I didn't have a plan. What does life look like after high school? Because I had one sole focus, and that was football. What it took was me being a part of FFA, being a part of the ag department at McAvick High School and things like that. My advisor, or my teacher at the time, he saw and knew that there was a change coming in my life, and he asked me a very specific question. What's the plan? And I didn't have one. And so the next question was, how do we develop a plan? What do you want to do with your life? Where do you want to be after this? He had already been instilling in me trust. He had instilled in me the relationship that we had established over those 2 years that I was in his program. But the thing is, he saw that I had a future beyond what I thought I had. And so, what does that look like? Being a part of this academy model allows the teachers to be able to connect with the other teachers within that same academy. But then not only that, but they also have connections with community partners. And so he knew that I wanted to be a veterinarian. He said, hey, I need you to fill out this job application here. And while I was in high school, starting in the 11th grade, I started working in a veterinary clinic. And that was a partnership, a great partnership that he had, and I did that all the way through high school. Not only that, he started to ask me, what does it look like for you after high school? What are you going to do? Are you going to keep doing this, or do you want to do something else? Well, he's like, if you want to be a veterinarian, what does it take to be a veterinarian? Well, that requires college. What college do you want to go to? I don't know. Well, then, hey, fill out this application right here. This one here is for a local college. Tennessee State is where I graduated from. I met some advisors there, talked through the program, was like, hey, you can continue to do these things. I was focused in on animal science, and, you know, he gave me opportunities not only for college, but then he was like, hey, what are you going to do before you go to college? And I was like, I don't know. Like, he said, you have a whole 3 months before you go to college, post-graduation from high school. What are you going to do? And I was like, I don't know. He's like, hey, here's an opportunity here working for Knoxville University. And so I was going to be a part of their summer veterinary program experience. And I was like, all these things came out of a teacher who had the connections to business partners and universities that I was able to experience because of that academy model with the focus of work-based learning and co-op and all of these things as opportunities for kids to build a resume. And I would love to say that, hey, I'm still a veterinarian, but that's not the case. The Lord had a different plan in all of that. But the thing is that if I wasn't doing what the Lord had called me to do right now, that's what my passion is. I still love animals. I still love teaching the next generation. I still love helping those in need. But the thing is that, hey, he allowed me to see and experience a course that was going beyond just, hey, high school football was your only ticket out. And so, looking at that and being able to look back on my life, those moments in high school, those moments post-high school, those moments even in college, all played a significant role into where I'm sitting today. Just like our friend here who spoke earlier. She has a plan due to some teachers, due to some connections that was made in high school, an experience that was had in high school that impacted and changed her life and gave her an opportunity to see the future. The same thing is true for me.
Thank you, Cliff, for sharing your experience as a student. You're a product of that, and we got to steal you. Right, so you talk about other communities trying to steal you, so we're happy that you're here. We're going to end our panel discussion today before Ms. Kelly Gates comes up to the closing remarks to dismiss this. But I want to end with Jennifer. We talk about the students and all of this, and this is why we're doing this. And as a parent representative, as a community leader, a mother, what makes you excited about what we can do, what opportunities that you see that we have on the horizon, and is there any challenges that you maybe are concerned with? But what does the future look like? Is it brighter?
Oh, I'm definitely. I'm a huge believer that I think the success of any community can be directly tied to the success of their public school system. And in the years ahead, we've got exciting things to celebrate. When I look at my own three and their high school journeys, all three are incredibly different, and I think this is going to allow that for all of our kids. Not everybody's high school path should look exactly the same, and I think that's one of the most exciting things about the new program is it is very tailored for each child, and they're going to be able to explore their interests. They're going to be able to find community within that school. They're going to be able to explore a lot of options that none of us in this room had that opportunity to do in high school. You know, hats off to the staff at Cushing County Public Schools who have led this endeavor. You know, they say the easiest way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time, and they have done a tremendous job of breaking this down into teeny tiny bites and addressing every single one of them so thoroughly. The student involvement in this process has been invaluable, and I hope that you all will take advantage of that. You know, we tend to think, well, gosh, how can we help these kids get through high school? We also need to think how they can be helpful to you. They're going to be a huge resource to our community, and it really is a community effort that I'm really excited about.
It'll be a huge, huge asset to everyone in this room. It's a shared mutual benefit if we all work together as internal and external partners. Everyone, please give our panel a round of applause. That was a fantastic conversation. I hope you gained more insight, every one of you. If you have any questions, feel free to go to any public schools tables over there and ask them, and I'm sure they will be there to help answer those. As we dismiss off the stage, please welcome Ms. Kelly Gates, who's Workforce Program Specialist at Christian County Public Schools. She will have some closing remarks before she lets us all go back to her day. Thank you.
That is an amazing act to follow up here. So I'm Kelly Gates, and every day I get the privilege to serve as the Christian County Public Schools Workforce Program Specialist. That panel and student testimony, like I said, a rough act to follow. As community stakeholders, your presence indicates that you are stepping up and participating in the workforce conversation. Your presence here today exemplifies that local businesses are a critical part of the transformative process that has been discussed here today. As your organizations look ahead to an ever-changing workforce landscape, one of the most impactful investments to be made is in young talent. Hiring students offers a unique opportunity, not only to support their development, but also to shape that skilled workforce that we all strive for. What I have learned from my role is that you, our community, you're our best trainers, you're our best visionaries, and you have the most enlightened perspectives. When you host a work-based learning student, you help close the gaps between academic proficiency and workforce participation. As Sadie mentioned, you give students the opportunities to practice being an adult. As we move toward powerful partnerships, your input remains invaluable. I've heard that word 1,000 times today. Supporting high school students today helps create a workforce that is capable, diverse, and ready to contribute in a variety of sectors. It leads to economic empowerment, and let's build the workforce of the future by providing opportunities today. So this year, there are 60 different local businesses that have hosted a co-op work-based learning student. So if you're one of those businesses, would you raise your hand for me? We are always looking to grow that number. And if your business isn't participating yet, we hope that you will take a chance on the unrealized talent sitting in classrooms as I speak. More often than not, students exceed expectations with their ability to take on complex tasks showcasing a level of capability that may often be underestimated simply because of their age. As we embrace solutions, let's not lose the momentum and finish this morning out strong. Let's take the energy and ideas sparked here today and translate those into action. If your business would like to get plugged into hosting a work-based learning experience or student in all the ways discussed here today, you contact me. You have my information on the back of your program. There is a QR code where you can, it leads to a form where you can ask all the questions you want and we will get those answers for you. You can simply email me. We have businesses that utilize co-op students now that will be happy to discuss the program with you, both its challenges and its benefits, students that are willing to give their perspectives, and anyone at those tables over there at Christian County Public Schools, we're happy to help. To close, I want to thank the sponsors for today, F&M Bank, Ascend Elements, and Christian County Government. A good and wise friend pointed out to me some time ago. He said, "Look around. It's a privilege to work with such committed community partners. I feel blessed to reside and work in 42240. Effective community partnerships can be the reason children hit the lottery simply because they are born into 42240. Get your galoshes, you're going to need them. Thank you all for being here today, and have a great week.